Well, I think I'm going to need that Manslayer 2000, whatever it's called. So it's Valentine's Day and the anniversary when we leave for the mission field. And I asked my wife, hey, can I go back and do this sweetheart banquet? And she said, that's fine. No, she really wanted to come, and we tried to work it out, and but we really, I'm very appreciative of Pastor Alford to bring everyone home, but it worked out well for me to come home and see you guys. And I had that feeling when I drove up today in the car, and I pulled into the church and walked into the sweetheart bank. I know I forgot something. My wife. I don't have my wife with me. But there's some interesting things. Pastor only gave me 20 minutes, and he said if I don't go over 20 minutes, he won't pay for my plane ticket, so I got to get going tonight. No, I'm teasing. No, Pastor's been very, very gracious, and I'm looking forward to seeing a lot of you guys on Sunday as well. But this has been a real pleasure to see. We had our banquet last week in the Dominican Republic, our sweetheart banquet, and I praise the Lord. We had many first-time visitors, many unsaved people. We had a wonderful preacher come in and gave a great gospel message. And so you pray for those couples in the Dominican Republic. And I'm sure it's because of the influence we had here, but the two things that I would say that are our two passions in our churches in the Dominican that we pastor and that we help lead are missions and families. And we are actually also, probably because of the influence of being here so long, we are in the middle of our family month as well. So you pray for our church this weekend as I'm here. Some of our men will be preaching about the family. And it's just been very exciting to see families, whether they started from a mom and dad coming or a child, when the whole family comes together and accept the Lord as their Savior and are discipled, there's nothing better. There really isn't anything better to see a whole family worshiping the Lord. And I'm just going to stand the premise right here. If I just start saying words you don't understand, it's Spanish. I'm not speaking in tongues. I actually hardly ever get to speak in English other than my kids. And I'm usually preaching in Spanish. So tonight, if I start fumbling over words, it's because I'm just trying to learn English again. So tonight, I just wanted to briefly talk about this idea of love. It's not as easy as you think, right? Love, it's not as easy as you think. I was searching the internet for some funny stories, things, observations that our world has when it comes to love and marriage. And I found one story about a boy and a dad were sitting in a car and they're watching a procession of cars go by. And the little boy said to his daddy, "Daddy, why are all those cars beeping their horn?" And the dad says, "Well, because there's a wedding procession going by. There's a wedding going on." And the little boy kind of quizzically looked back at his dad and said, "But Daddy, don't when we beep the horn, we're warning people?" And the dad said, "Exactly, son. Exactly." Someone astutely said, "I love being married. It's so great to find the one special person you want to annoy the rest of your life." Victor knows that one, all right, buddy? One husband and wife took time one evening to go to this 5-star restaurant, and when their food arrived, the husband said, "Oh, good, let's eat, I'm starving." And his wife reminded him, "No, listen, whenever at home, you always take time to say your prayer over the food." He said, "Honey, the chef knows what he's doing here." Lastly, I don't know if you've heard this before. Marriage is a 3-ring circus. Engagement ring, wedding ring, and suffering. Now, of course, those are just silly things. We think about how the world jokes and talks about marriage. We know that the biblical view is completely different. We know the idea that Hollywood and our world puts out there about marriage and love couldn't be any further apart from what the Bible has to say about love. And when we truly want to know what the Bible has to say about love, there's a chapter we particularly like to go to, and that's 1 Corinthians 13. So if you have your Bible tonight, if you would, open it up to 1 Corinthians 13 or your phone app, but please don't go look for the scores. Only go to your Bible app if you're going to open your phone or your tablet. We obviously don't have time to go through all the verses tonight. I really just want to actually focus on verse 4, 1 Corinthians 13. And I'd like to just have a quick word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity. Thank you, Lord, for each couple represented this evening. Lord, marriage is a special thing. Lord, I know everyone is at different places in their lives and their marriages, but I pray you'd bless each and every one, that every spouse would just humbly submit to each other and to you, and you would bless every family represented this evening. We ask this in your name. Amen. You know, 1 Corinthians 13 starts with three very interesting verses. Notice the contrast here. It says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity or have not love, I am become as sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understanding all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me, what does it say? Nothing. Nothing. Now, we're not going to take time to go in depth the whole chapter, but these first three verses, Paul's explaining the contrast we have, that we can receive all the spiritual gifts in the world. We could be somebody that has spent their time spiritually trying to acquire all the knowledge in the world, yet if we're not practically using that knowledge in a loving way, in a loving manner, it has no profit for others. It has no profit in this world. He says, you could literally be the greatest preacher in the world, but if you don't bestow love, it means nothing. You could have all the master's degrees and doctorate degrees. You could understand every spiritual thing there is to understand in a book, but without showing that practically through your love for others, it's meaningless. It says here, you can give all your money away. You could give it all away to missions, and it profiteth nothing. Now, you give it to me, you don't love me, I'll take your missions money. But no, it says to God, when we give everything away, it means nothing to him if we're not demonstrating love. Now, that's a contrast. He's describing spiritual gifts, things that we could acquire but if we don't show this love. Notice in verse 4, he makes another transition. Right now, he's going to talk about what love is. It's not this, or it doesn't matter if you have all this. But notice verse 4. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. He's not saying love is like this. He's saying love is this. What is love? It's right here. Charity suffereth long. So when we say we love someone, we love our spouse, we love our children, we love someone else, we can just open up our Bibles and turn right here and match our words to our actions. Notice the first one. Charity suffereth long, or love suffereth long. This word for suffereth long is the same word that's mostly translated throughout the Bible as patient. Love is patient. How long is long? Love suffereth long. How long is long? Well, that's a really difficult question to answer. And it's probably the hardest thing about suffering is how long is it going to take? We don't know how long is. I think of marriages that sometimes suffer long due to the mistreatment maybe of another spouse or sometimes just due to circumstances. When I think of someone who suffered long, I think of Pastor and how he lovingly stayed by Mrs. Pittman's side year after year. You know, Mrs. Pittman had a lot of physical illness pretty much all her life. And Pastor loved her and was by her side. That's a great example of love suffering long. I'm sure many of you who've been married for a number of years have experienced that in your own life. When I was younger, I had a youth pastor, a great youth pastor, and he would often teach us true love. Who remembers the third word? True love waits. And he was talking about sexual purity. And that was a wonderful message. It was a message that we took to heart. But you know, I thought about this as I was writing this message. I thought, you know, he failed to mention that true love waits, but then after marriage, true love keeps waiting in so many other areas of life. So many times we have to learn to have patience in our marriage relationship. You know, obviously that phrase we're taught as young people when it comes to our intimacy, but in a marriage relationship, true love, if you truly love your spouse, you're going to wait on them. You're going to wait for them sometimes to be ready to make the decisions in life you want to make. Or whatever the scenario is, if we truly love our spouse, we will display patience. It's very interesting. That's the very first attribute he talks about when describing love, because for lots of us, that's probably the most difficult, to be patient. I guess it's probably just me. Maybe I'm the only one who has a problem with patience. But no, I think Paul is making a point here. True love is a patient love. You know, if you reflect on your own life, Are you someone that can be described as patient? We don't ever pray for patience. We know that. That would be foolish. We don't pray for patience. But if we truly love someone, we will display patience. We will be a patient person in our lives. Now, maybe tonight, when you're driving home, you can take time to ask your spouse, what are some ways that I can better show patience in our marriage? Don't pray for patience, but your wife, she'll show you. She'll tell you right away. She'll have four ways you can line up right there. And maybe it's in the case of a husband talking to his wife, but the very first element, the very first key here to a successful marriage, if we're talking about how to love someone, is to display patience. I live in the Dominican Republic where it is very difficult to be patient with the drivers around us. It's very interesting. Dominicans are never on time, but they always seem to be in a hurry to get somewhere. I never understand this, why they can be so late, but always in such a hurry. I don't know where they're going. Patience. We always need to learn patience. Paul goes on. He says, charity suffereth long and is, what's that next word? Kind. Oh, boy, that's a hard one for today. Kindness. You know, you guys live here in Washington, D.C. I've been watching what's been happening in Washington, D.C. the last 2 weeks. Washington, D.C. could use some kindness in the political system, right? Not a whole lot of kindness going back and forth. But, you know, kindness is a key in marriage. Amen. If you want to have a peaceful and tranquil home, you need to have kindness. Harsh words, harsh actions towards your spouse is the easiest way to have a contentious home. You need kindness. You need kindness with mom and dad if you expect to have kindness with your kids. Don't get on your kids for not being kind to each other if you're not displaying it in your own home. Now, how can we demonstrate true kindness to our spouses? Well, there's many ways. We don't have an exhaustive list, but here are a few. Number one, pray for them daily. Well, that seems obvious. Well, I'll be the first one to say I've messed up on that. Pray for your spouse every single day. It's hard to be mad at someone if you're praying for them. Pay attention to their needs. Try to take the focus off your own life and see what their needs are. That's how you show kindness. Be an encourager, not a critic. Boy, it's real easy to define all the problems. You know, it takes as much time, if not less time, to just be an encourager. Tell them the areas where they're doing a great job. Be thankful for what they do. Instead of thinking of the two things you didn't get, think of the seven things you did get. Be thankful for what you have. And put your needs aside for the needs of the other. That's the best way to show kindness. Now, let me just tell you, this is really easy to get up here and say. It's a lot harder to do, isn't it? It's easy to hear and say, oh, we should do that. I need to do that. It's another thing tomorrow when you don't feel your best or when there's been a difficult situation to practice this. But if you truly want to have a sweet, loving home, it does start with patience. It does start with kindness. Kindness starts with the right thoughts towards your spouse. The right kind of thoughts when you're thinking about them. I know of marriages where just the mentioning of a certain spouse to the other, they start to cringe. You can see that how they change in their actions will reflect that what's starting where? In their mind. I remember a pastor many, many times saying basically something to this effect. Whenever someone would mention somebody else's name, the first reaction you have in your mind, that's how you truly feel about that person. And if the first reaction you have is not a positive, good reaction, that's on you, and you need to work on that. I know many times in my life I've thought about that, and not necessarily in the case of my spouse, my wife, but other people, and thinking the mention of that person's name, if it draws me back to think something bad, I need to work on that in my heart. Because I want to show kindness towards that person. Even if in worldly terms they don't deserve it, I need to show kindness. And what more kindness should we show than that first to our own spouse, the one whom we know intimately? Patience, kindness. Notice a third. Love envieth not. The same word for envieth is the same idea of jealousy. Now, jealousy can be a very dangerous thing. Now, I know I lived for many years here in Nova, in Northern Virginia, and I know that, you know, working in the rat race, working in the corporate world, we see a lot of people who live jealous, envious lives, who never seem to have enough. You know, the house isn't big enough, the cars aren't enough, positions, whatever it is. And we see that, you know, I believe we don't necessarily see that in our church as much, obviously, but I think we see that with the people we work with. We understand jealousy, but man, it's a sad state of affairs when we see jealousy creep into a marriage. And it creeps in different ways. We see it creep in with those who maybe have two different careers. Sometimes one spouse will get jealous of the other because they've had more success, or maybe just something simple like the amount of time, as we laughed here with the examples, the amount of time a husband might get to play with a hobby or a pastime, or a wife gets to do something. We see jealousies arise, and it should never be. There's so many reasons and ways we see jealousy manifested in our life, but one thing is certain, it is not becoming of a believer. Basically, when we have envy, we have jealousies, what we're doing is we're really believing that God has made a mistake. That we don't believe God has administrated a gift or ability the proper way. And we're envious sometimes that person has that gift, or we're jealous that we don't have it ourselves. Now, a believer is the last person in the world that should be envious. The last person in the world that should be jealous. One of my favorite verses is Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his own love towards us, in that while we were yet, what's the word, next word? Sinners, Christ died for us. Whenever I am sharing the gospel in Spanish to other people, I try to get them to understand that verse and say, now think about, don't tell me, I'm not a priest, don't tell me your sins, but think in your mind some of the worst things you've ever done in your life. And as they think, I said, now listen, the Bible says when you were doing those sins, Christ died for you. He loved you. What do we have to complain about? What do we have to be jealous? We have heaven coming to us. Especially in our marriages, we should never let jealousy creep in, because that's the person we love intimately. We should be happy for them, joyful for them. But it's sad to say that we have seen jealousy creep into our marriages. Are you happy for the success of your husband? Are you happy for the success of your family, your wife? I know that's an area that many marriages don't want to acknowledge, but it's something we have to work on. Envy, jealousy. And lastly, in this verse, love vaunteth not itself and is not puffed up. If there's another side to the coin of jealousy, it's that one of pride. Prideful spirit. Maybe when your problem is not jealousy, but maybe rather a prideful spirit. Maybe God's blessed you beyond measure. We've been very blessed as missionaries. One of the most difficult things as a missionary for us in the mission field is really to not tell our other missionary friends how good God's been to us. Like your church. It honestly, and I'm sure Jeremy understands this, it can be a discouraging thing to other missionaries to see such a loving home church like yourself take care of us in so many ways. You don't want to be lifted up with pride to say, look what God's doing for us. We can see that sometimes in our own marriage. One person can be lifted with pride just thinking, wow, look what I've done, look what I've done, instead of understanding how God has blessed them with a wife and a spouse and a church. I think of, there's probably nothing more annoying, and pastors mentioned this before, than a sports player who makes a great play and gets up and just wants all the glory for themselves, not thinking about all the teammates that helped to make that play, all the coaches who wrote up the play, all the scouts who said that play is going to work, and this person is trying to take all the glory when so many people helped them to get to that point. It's the same way in our marriages. You know, a good team has to have teamwork. A good marriage has to have teamwork. Everyone doing their role, sacrificing. It's foolishness for us to lift ourselves up. True love is humble. True love is kind. True love is patient. You know, in closing, I just want to give out some homework tonight. I know you didn't think you would get homework tonight, but it is a little bit of homework. Take time on your trip back tonight to talk to your spouse and together thank the Lord for what he's done in your lives. Could be for 15 years. Could have been for a few months. Some people were married just for a few months. Could be for 53 years. Take time as a couple to thank the Lord for what he's done in your life. But then take time to thank each other for the specific roles they've helped sacrifice to have a sweet home. And maybe through this, you'll understand that true love doesn't have pride. True love is grateful. You know, love's not easy, but it's possible when we follow God's plan. I wish we could go on through all the verses, but boy, I tell you, One of the phrases I like to tell our people back in the Dominican is, you know, my problem with the Bible is not the things that I don't understand. My problem are the things I understand and don't do. Tonight, I don't think any of this was new to us, but it sure is sometimes hard to do. But boy, there's nothing better than working with the person you love most to display patience and display kindness, to not be envious, not to be prideful. I want to encourage you to seek after those things that the Word of God says are the keys to success, to have a loving home. Let's pray this evening. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this opportunity. Your Word holds the answers. And we know that you have given us and displayed what true love is, sacrificial agape love. Lord, those here tonight who have spouses, that, Lord, I pray that you would just work in our hearts. No matter how many years we've been married, that every year we're going to try to love each other more. If I fall more in love with you, Lord, and more in love with our spouse. Lord, I know in my 14 years of marriage that I love my wife a lot more today than I did the day I got married. And I pray, Lord, that will continue to be the case. I pray that, Lord, and maybe there's marriages here that maybe some of these truths have spoken to their hearts and some areas of they need to work on. Lord, I pray that these verses will penetrate their heart and draw them closer to you so you can give them a sweet, harmonious home, a home that glorifies you, where you are worshipped, Lord, and you receive the glory. Oh, Lord, I thank you for so many couples out tonight. I know that if we're truly going to change our society and our culture, it starts with families. Families training their children to love God. Lord, bless the rest of our evening. Allow everyone to get back home safely. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.